Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to another episode of Life Behind Bars. I'm Noah Rothbaum, the Daily Beast Half Full editor. Joining me, as always, is my colleague and drinking companion, Dave Wondrich.
Should I say Wes Hale?
You could.
I could. It is appropriate. I mean, it might be a little weird, but...
Instead of what's up?
Yeah, Wes Hale.
I wasn't sure which way you were going, if it was going to be a what's up or a what's Hale.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're joking about wassailing because it is that time of year. It is the holidays. Once I get to the holiday time, I think of holiday drinks.
I think I need holiday drinks. Yes. There's a reason why that's even a phrase.
It's true. It's a long period. Lots of awkward parties, whether they're, you know, office parties, family parties, friends party, whatever parties, it seems...
It's a lot of standing around with a drink glued into your hand, trying to talk to people you haven't seen in a year.
So if you're going to do it, it should be a good drink, right?
Exactly. I mean, exactly.
Unfortunately, we can't make any promises about the small talk. At least you can guarantee that you'll have something good to drink.
The end of the year has always been the time for communal drinks.
Absolutely.
It's for the big bowls, the bowls of flaming punch.
Those parties sound fun.
Oh, those parties are fun. The egg drinks.
Right.
That was always traditional in America.
Do you think because they're round and you get like the sort of the year coming around? I don't know.
Oh, my God. I don't know. That's a remarkably sophisticated analysis.
I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah. I got to look into it now. Round.
The circle of life, we're coming around.
They're toasting the reappearance of the sun or the disappearance of the sun.
You don't need to get so esoteric in your drinking.
I'm not a semiotician. I'm a drinks writer.
Although, to be fair, in the punch bowl that you designed, there is a Latin proverb in the bottom. So I'm not so off base.
That's true. Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. I will plead guilty.
One of us has a PhD in this room, and it's not me. That's all I'm going to say.
That was a long time ago.
That's it. The punch bowl is a perfect kind of drink for the holidays. I'm going to quote you to you. Nothing brings a room together better than a punch bowl, right? Dad, and I do.
A bowl of punch is a project.
I always say this, and I always give you credit. Yeah. Or if I'm not, if I haven't not too deep in my cups, I do give you credit for that, and I think that's absolutely true.
I mean, the way I always look at it is a bowl of punch and a group of people is you're giving these people a communal project.
Yes.
Everybody isn't all going, well, I only drink this or I only drink that.
Right.
And looking at you funny for having something else.
And it's, small glasses usually, the punch glass. Yep. It's not too intimidating.
The punch shouldn't be too strong.
Right. It's festive. And I think that's sometimes a mistake with a lot of holiday drinks is that people really make them very, very boozy.
They make them so strong.
And the point is not to knock out your guests. It's to make them happy.
It's to give them a gentle, slow lift.
Right, exactly.
It's not a jet fighter taking off on a short runway. It's a 747 slowly wobbling into the air.
You don't want everybody dozing on the couch.
No.
That's not a sign of a party drink. That's a sign of a... boozy, too boozy.
I made the punch too strong one year for my friend's holiday party, and nobody could find him at the end of the party because he was in their second bathroom, curled up on the floor behind the toilet.
maybe a party foul.
That was a mistake.
That was definitely a party foul.
That was a mistake.
Sometimes in our excitement for the holidays or our exuberation for, getting everybody together that you make that mistake that, stronger is better. And
the traditional American drinks for the holidays were things like eggnog.
Right.
Which has got booze in it, for sure. Right. But it's also so rich, it's hard to drink a lot of it.
Many of our listeners are probably recoiling in horror, at the word eggnog. But we're not talking about the supermarket cardboard box.
Oh, I'm such a sucker. I even like
that. Do you like that one?
Yeah. I prefer to make it from scratch.
There is a lot of bad eggnog out there. And I think most people, if they've had eggnog, it's probably bad eggnog.
Real eggnog is a crazy thing. It'll keep forever. I have a bottle from last Christmas in my refrigerator right now that I'm waiting to break out this year. And it, because the alcohol in it, you know,
is
high enough, it's strong enough. There's a whole thing of people aging their eggnog for several years, and, and it comes out. And I've had eggnog like 3 or 4 years old.
If we haven't lost all of our...
I know. People are fleeing right now. But traditionally, it was made for the holidays. It was made Christmas Day and New Year's Day. Huh. And you can obviously adapt this to Hanukkah parties. You can adapt it to whatever.
Yeah.
But it was always the days that people gathered.
Right.
You know, and you'd make a big bowl of eggnog. You whip the whites and the yolks separately so that the yolks become creamy and the whites to soft peaks.
Sure.
So it has some body and it's light. You would use not just bourbon as we do now, but you would use brandy or brandy and rum or brandy rum.
Interesting.
And fortified wines. You know, you can be clever with it.
Right.
You still can mix it around. You still can, exactly.
To be honest, I don't think I've ever had an eggnog that has not been made with whiskey.
It's amazing. If you make like a Baltimore eggnog with Madeira and brandy, that's really tasty.
Mind blown. This whole world of eggnog.
They're kind of soft and rich.
Yeah, a little bit more subtle.
Those were always popular. The other one is Tom and Jerry. I was stunned a few years ago. I was out in California for Christmas, and I had just started writing about drinks.
Right.
And I'd come across this drink, Tom and Jerry, that I'd never heard of.
To be honest, I think 15 years ago, when you first told me about Tom and Jerry, there's a bar in New York that has all these amazing Tom and Jerry punch sets. I had to ask, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners want to know, sadly, it is not connected to the cartoon.
The cartoon is named after the drink.
Right.
That's which is
the most
crazy.
Amazing thing about it.
The drink goes back 1820s in America.
Wow.
It's a drink where you whip egg whites and yolks separately with a little bit of rum. And then you make a batter out of these things. You fold them together. And the batter is in a big bowl. And by the 1870s, the bowl was already coming pre-manufactured, saying Tom and Jerry on the outside.
Right.
And you get these little mugs that look like shaving mugs, because originally that's what they were based on. The kind when you used to shave with a brush and a razor.
Yeah, sure.
And you'd have a mug to froth the soap up in.
Right.
And they did this because the stuff looks like
shaving foam. Yeah.
Shaving foam.
And even people would shave in a bowl, right? I mean, like...
Over a bowl, yeah.
Where you have the beginning of...
Yeah, before you have a sink with running water.
Now confused who has a PhD now. Yeah. And at the beginning of Ulysses, you know, isn't Buck Mulligan shaving over a big bowl, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of funny. It was like this struck people as amusing at the time. And so you have these little shaving mugs, and you put... some brandy and rum mixed in it, and then you put the batter in and you fill it up with hot water or hot milk.
Very similar to kind of like a hot buttered rum, too, right?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
It's a traditional ritual. Make a batter.
Yeah.
And...
Although my mom was from New England, and how she made hot buttered rum, which I got when I was sick, was rum, sugar, hot water, and a lump of butter.
Oh.
No batter at all.
All right.
That was really old school.
Right.
But then people learn to, you know, you can make actually a batter. And it's,
And that keeps too. And then you can just sort of drop in a ball.
But the Tom and Jerry thing was always funny, because you'd sit around the bowl and you'd ladle a ladle full of batter into your little shaving mug, and you'd pour in the booze, and then you'd pour in the hot water, and people could refill it as they went around, you know. And these things were really small, so super fun and communal.
Sort of like both a party game and a beverage.
Yeah, and I thought it was completely gone away until I'm out in Southern California. And these people, we go with my brother-in-law, who was a surfer. He was a pro surfer at the time for the Quicksilver team. And we go to his teammate's house for Christmas Eve. They're making Tom and Jerry's, which I'd never heard of. And it turns out these people were from the Upper Midwest originally.
Interesting.
And if you go to the Upper Midwest, like around the Great Lakes, it's still...
People are
still making it. It's living culture there, which I hadn't realized when I used to live in that part of the country, but I was too young. But now you go up there and you see it, and it's like, okay, it's still alive in Wisconsin and like far upstate New York, Michigan, you know.
It's so cold in some of those places during the winter. That's the perfect drink for, you know.
It's beautiful. It's like a hot drink. It's like eggnog, but it's a little livelier.
And also it has no weird connotation that eggnog has for most people.
That's true. Although you can buy batter for Tom and Jerry's in the 7-Eleven.
Really?
Yeah.
In Wisconsin?
Yeah, it's prepackaged.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So
I have to get some.
In the 19th century, bars used to have the Tom and Jerry bowl out. And it would always be a little item in the newspaper around like the end of November. Misters Thomas and Jeremiah are in town now. You know, the people would always joke around. Yeah, a little code. It meant, okay, the bars are making Tom and Jerry now. And so you'd go in there and it would be, you'd sit around the charcoal stove or the coal stove and they'd be heating the water or milk on top of the stove. It was very exciting.
Yeah, I imagine a lot of those places, because of all the influence from Scandinavia, you also may, people also probably make glue too, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they did. Yes, absolutely.
Which is sort of, I mean, I guess that's like a hot fortified wine with fruit.
That and spices, a lot of spices and sugar. You'd also see things like the German Feuerzangenbowle, which is a fire tong bowl, where you get a loaf of sugar, which means you need to be able to get a loaf of sugar. And you put it on tongs, fireplace tongs, over a pot full of hot wine.
Okay.
And then you pour strong rum or arak, Batavia arak, onto the sugar loaf and light it on fire.
Wow. At your own risk, people.
This is really fun.
This is at your own risk.
But you got to use real fireplace tongs, not the kitchen ones that have a channel that are made out of pressed steel, because that channel, hot, as I've discovered, conducts flaming, melted sugar away from the bowl and onto the table and the floor.
Oh.
And so don't do that.
Good to know.
Use real, like,
good to know,
solid fireplace tongs.
Yeah. There's a whole tradition of coming to, like, loggerheads, right? Where you would take an andiron and you'd heat it up really hot. Or if you're Dave Arnold, that, you know, when you worked it.
You've got an electric one. That,
right. And you you dip it in.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
To, you know, concoction and it.
My mom would make hot buttered rum by putting all the stuff in a mug and then heat up the fireplace poker and put it in there. It brings it to a boil pretty quickly, and it's pretty spectacular. Yeah. And you got the red hot poker, and that was what her dad always did, you know, and her people.
I think I heard one of our fellow Daily Beast contributors, Wayne Curtis, talk about it, and I think according to Wayne, that is where the expression "coming to loggerheads" comes from, right? I mean, that people would be in a pub, and this was fairly standard that they would heat up the andiron.
And then they put it in their mug. Yep.
And maybe they fight with it. But
maybe they would. Yikes.
No, thank you.
You get some pretty serious scarring there, I would think.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to fight with that.
You know, even with glue, I've always been warned not to eat the fruit, right? The fruit is the most, somehow that becomes the most alcoholic part. I don't know why. But that's all.
The alcohol's hiding.
Right, it just hides in the fruit.
Yeah.
But in the same way, like if you go to like Scandinavia House in New York, which is sort of association promoting all things Scandinavian, they sell in their holiday shop bottled glue from Sweden or Norway, which is kind of funny that, you know, it's so ubiquitous in these countries that you can buy a pre-bottled version.
I mean, you can buy Swedish punch, which is the base for hot punch. You just add hot water to it, and that's similar too, based on arak from Indonesia, originally via Holland. And that stuff is kind of crazy. But these hot drinks were so universal, and central heating has kind of killed the market for hot drinks to a degree. Before central heating, you really liked a hot drink.
I mean, makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, but I live in a drafty old house in Brooklyn, and it's a wood row house from the mid-19th century, and it's really hard to insulate. The winds come blowing up through the floorboards when it's really cold out. So we always huddle up in fleece, and then I break out the single malt and I make hot toddies with it, which is, you know, that to me is the great holiday drink. That's my personal favorite is a hot, like, smoky scotch toddy.
Yeah.
And I'll use, like, the good stuff. All you're adding to it is a little bit of sugar, some boiling water, and a strip of lemon peel.
That's it.
It doesn't hide the flavor at all.
Right.
And if you use something like really smoky, like a Lafroy or a Lagavulin or an Ardbeg, these really big, beefy, Bowmore or Kalila.
Yeah, you need kind of a stiff backbone.
Yeah, and that stuff is made for toddies.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it lasts.
And for the winter.
For the winter. That is it.
That you really understand smoky peaty scotch, I think, when it's cold, rainy day or snowy day.
It's miserable outdoors. You put it in a flask.
And, or you come in and, you've got that chill that you just can't, no matter how many layers of clothing you put on, you can't fight that chill.
That's what that's for. All these winter drinks are like that. They were there when people had a need.
Right.
The hot toddy originally. Now people almost always make their hot toddies with cider.
Right.
They didn't have cider for those.
And
it
very
was just
sweet
water.
Often.
Yeah.
I mean,
they weren't that sweet back then. They were strong, and it was just boiling water and booze.
And it had a different name, right? I mean, which is...
There were several,
I mean, my favorite is the whiskey skin, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that that's sort of the proto hot toddy?
Yeah, because that's the skin is because it had a piece of lemon peel in it.
Right. I mean, it sounds particularly gruesome today. Like, I'll have the whiskey,
I didn't know whiskey had skin.
Right, exactly. Hot toddy sounds a little bit better, I think.
Yeah. Or you could also call it a hot whiskey like they make in Ireland. One of my favorite pubs on earth in downtown Dublin, they specialize in hot whiskey, which is a drink that I didn't really come across often before I went to Ireland at Keogh's in the center of Dublin. Half their business is people drinking hot whiskey. How do you make hot whiskey? You take a slice of lemon, you put 3 cloves in it, you take a mug, you always rinse out the mug with boiling water.
Sure.
It's like chilling a cocktail glass.
Right.
You always need to heat the mug. So they have a heated mug, in goes the John Power or, other fairly beefy Irish blend. The slice, maybe a spoonful of sugar and boiling water
and that's done.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
And in Ireland in the winter, Ireland never gets that cold, but it's damp.
Yeah.
And it's that kind of
raw.
Yeah, raw, damp thing that just gets inside your coat, and you're just never warm. and suddenly you get this, and like for that brief minute, you're drinking a hot whiskey and you're very warm.
Getting back to our beginning for wassailing, is there a traditional cocktail for that, do you think?
Well, for that, it would be spiced ale. It's before the English drank spirits. Holiday parties, I like hot punch.
Yeah.
One way to do it is to get a slow cooker.
Okay.
And you can put it in there so that it stays warm.
Yeah.
And you keep it at very low heat.
Right.
So the alcohol doesn't all boil off. But it takes a lot to boil off all the alcohol.
You want
some of it boiled off.
Longer than you'd expect.
Longer than you'd expect, exactly. So you keep the heat low. And I like to use any good pot-stilled spirit.
Yeah.
Like Scotch whiskey, some pot still Irish whiskeys, Dutch Genever makes a lovely hot punch. And for something like this, instead I'll put sugar, the spirit, maybe a splash of orange curacao or some other kind of cool liqueur, but only a little bit. And, maybe 2 ounces per 750 milliliter bottle, not much. And then I'll put like the peel of 4 or 5 lemons peeled in spirals. You don't need the juice. You can keep it covered when people aren't actually ladling from it. It'll keep until people finish it.
Yeah. Some of these drinks are also a great time to kind of clean out the liquor cabinet.
The one thing I won't do for hot drinks is I won't use stuff like gin or vodka.
Right.
Because they're too thin and they don't have the body.
You could make your own rum blend.
You can make your own rum blend. Especially with the aged rums and the pot stilled rums.
Yeah,
the older, richer rums are good.
If you have a lot of different single malts from like the Highlands, it would be kind of nice and make your own blend,
The hard part is making a consistent blend, but you don't have to worry about
who cares?
Your blend can be unique every time.
It's also a nice thing to do for guests too. You could make your own blend. You have a lot of different, Max Wattman did a story for us about the so-called infinity rum bottle,
right?
Where you just keep adding,
the dregs of whatever.
I was looking for a nicer word than dregs, but...
The last inch, right? Yeah.
So you add all these last inches together, and you make your own blend. And sometimes it's actually really delicious.
Yeah, I've got a couple blends that I've been making for a really long time. For Scotch, I have an indoor blend and an outdoor blend.
Okay.
And the indoor blend is I leave out the heavy peated ones.
Right.
And the outdoor blend, that's where I put all those.
Right. And I think that's so a kind of a nice thing to bottle up for friends and family and give them
or
their
fill
way.
A flask with.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I use if I'm going, hiking in the woods in the winter or something or something crazy like that, then I'll fill the flask with the outdoor blend and I won't share it with anybody. No, that's probably true.
Don't ask. Don't even ask.
Don't even ask.
Aren't some of the things like coquito or some of the milk punches
people
do for the holidays? Or in Haiti, there's another one that I've had which is absolutely delicious.
Yeah, they're delicious. And those are in the eggnog tradition.
Yeah, absolutely.
Usually they're served cold, sometimes hot. You know, again, eggnog goes back to the late 18th century in America.
Yeah.
And it was always very simple. You just beat up eggs with sugar and add booze to it. There's really nothing to it.
Right.
And maybe a little nutmeg or some nutmeg and allspice. Nutmeg, allspice, and cinnamon if you're really crazy. Originally,
I can smell the aromas. It smells like the holidays.
You can add, obviously, these days we tend to add milk or half and half to it, which stretches it out and keeps it from being overpoweringly strong.
Sure.
But they didn't all. They used to just shake it up, you know.
Huh.
Sometimes I guess they would put some milk in it, but not much.
Well, and milk punch is its own.
Yeah, milk punch is a complicated topic,
and
that's almost an episode in and of itself.
Absolutely, but suffice it to say, like the original milk punch wasn't what we.
No,
it was clarified, and they
would pour the milk into punch, and the acid in the punch would make the milk curdle. Which looks disgusting, but then you strain it out, and you've got this very smooth, pleasant drink.
There's one bartender in New York, Gareth Howell, who was doing it at Vinyl, and I did it with him. It's kind of an amazing experience, and you think, oh, my God, this is never going to work.
Yeah, but it's delicious.
I mean, occasionally it doesn't, it's kind of like making any kind of emulsion, you can't build that raft to clarify the stock, but it's kind of the same thing where you're clarifying the milk punch and it curdles and then you pour off and you have this amazing, beautiful, clear cocktail
that clears
you
out
never
everything.
Know ever had milk in it. But we do, we see in New Orleans like a milk punch, which is more like eggnog, not clarified.
Yeah, it's just bourbon, sugar, and
and
spice
milk.
And milk, shaken up together. And that's really not bad. Or brandy or rum,
it's nice treat for... if you're having a holiday brunch or, opening
if you want to crack an egg into that, then just shake the hell out of it and you've got an eggnog.
Right.
And it's a simple drink and a delicious one.
Yeah. I'm actually getting thirsty for some of these holiday drinks.
I know, you're
making me look forward to these holiday parties as an excuse to whip up some bowls.
I'm looking forward to making my my German Feuerzangenbowle this year with the loaf sugar and the spirit.
Please be careful.
I'm always sort of careful.
Hopefully Dave will survive his holiday punch endeavors and we'll be back.
I'm more careful than I used to be.
We'll be back with another episode of Life Behind Bars. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
And cheers.
Cheers.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.